The ARC Latin Tournament Trail winding down. Got one stop left. We've done three. Got one more up at Felsenthal. But this past weekend's winner, Jared Fitch, stopped in and talked with us about his win, about his history. And we kind of talked a little bit about his co-angler, Mr. Curtis Goodling. Curtis didn't want to come on, but hey, that's cool, man. We'll get you next time, Curtis. But listen, man, we've got some great information in this podcast. I think you guys are really going to like it because I didn't know this much about Jared before he started talking. One of the best guys fishing this trail. You're not going to want to miss this one. The ARC Latin Tournament Trail is starting to wind down. We got one more stop. That's going to be next month. We're going to be up in Felsenthal at the Crossett Harbor. But this past weekend, we had an event on the river, the Rumble on the River, sponsored by Ludwig Marine. And, you know, we bet before we got started, Jared, and I bet the winning sack was going to be 11 pounds. And then Mr. Dale said 15. And when you came in, when you and Curtis came in, that kind of shocked us all. I wasn't expecting that much weight, man. So congratulations on your win last weekend.
Thank you, sir. It shocked me too.
So before we get started, I like to give everybody an idea who they're talking to. So give us a little background on Jared Fitch real quick.
How far can I go back?
Dude, I mean, Genesis. Give me all of it.
Oh, man. So before I started fishing, I raced motocross. Me and Tyler Stewart both did. And, you know, we were both pretty good. And that's actually how me and him met. I come fishing, I guess. And I got hurt a couple times, broke my back and broke my leg and had chest tubes in and two helicopter rides and about four ambulance rides, two hospital stays. I hurt myself pretty good. So I had to give that up, my wife told me, and opened a business in between all that and starting to have kids. And that ended my racing career real quick because I couldn't get hurt. You know, I couldn't afford to lose my business. And so I started fishing again, which I fished back in, you know, since I was a little boy, little bitty boy. I used to drive my pep ball, 10, 11, 12 years old, pulling his boat, truck, and while he's sitting over in the passenger seat. That's what I did forever when I wasn't racing. And, I just kind of lost contact with it when I was racing and, got back into it after I got hurt and started fishing some, local stuff, did okay. And after that, I won a few tournaments and I kind of jumped into the opens and I did my first open. I fished with a buddy of mine named Todd Miley and I fished as a co-angler actually. And, got hooked on it from there again. I mean, like really, really hooked. Done okay in that co-angler side of the Bassmaster, the first one I ever fished. And then the year after that, I signed up as pro or, you know, angler. And, I think I finished 14th, 15th, 16th in the first one I fished on the Red River. Did pretty good and probably could have fished the third day, but my co-angler kind of got, we caught a 4-pounder and a 3-pounder right out the back of the boat. Not saying that I could have caught them, but, you know, I mean, it would have helped me a lot to fish the third day. I think I only missed a cut by not even a pound, I think, to fish the third.
So what, then, hey, what years are all this happening?
That was in 2013 is when I first got back, I got a Ranger, Ludwig Marine helped me out. I bought all my boats since then, through then. So I had a 2013 Ranger and got into that and, I fished them for a few years. I had kids right after that, so it kind of slowed that down. The kid life, the daddy life takes away from the fishing tournaments.
Yeah, I can imagine it does.
Before that, I fished, you know, me and my wife fished 4 to 5 days a week. We'd go like 4th on the weekends or go wherever on the weekends. That's what we done before we had kids, and the kiddos kind of slowed that down.
Yeah. Now, hey, give her a shout out real quick. What's her name?
Jennifer. Her name's Jennifer Fitch.
Jennifer Fitch. How long y'all been married now?
We have been married.
Don't mess it up now.
I'm not. We talked about it the other day. 16 years, and I've been with her for 26 years.
Dang, man. That's good.
We started dating in high school, in 9th grade.
Where'd y'all go to high school?
West Monroe.
Okay. Man.
Played football there. Got 3 championship rings. 96, 97, 98.
Okay.
And 3 championships. I didn't fish much during then either. I just played football.
Yeah. Yeah. You played with some guys that I graduated over at Farmerville, about the same year I graduated, apparently a year before you did. And, you know, I bet we ran with the same crew some back in the day.
Probably so.
Now, you hit on this broken back and just, you know, you just ran right through that. Does that still bother you? Because I know, you know, I've heard of people doing that, and they still, you know, how do you fish an 8-hour tournament with, I know that's got to hurt.
Man, I'll tell you the truth. I've broken my back twice. When I was in the hospital and I had 13 broke bones, 6 in my back, and I had chest tubes in my lung, broke my left on my left leg, the fibula, and then I broke 6 ribs. And laying in there, and the doctor come in. You know, I've been in there, for a week. Doctor come in after the first day and said, "Man, you broken your back some other time. Did you know that?" And I'm like, after he woke me up, you know, I didn't know what was going on. I had to crash. And I was like, no, I had no idea. So, yeah, you broken your back some other time before and all your motocrossing. And to tell you the truth, my back's never really – it does a little bit if I'm on my feet all day working. But, I mean, not really. I fish 14 hours a day sometimes. And it really – sometimes if I don't drink enough fluids, it'll start bothering me. But other than that, no, it don't bother me. I pop up out of bed and – get going. I mean, it's not that bad. I've been lucky. I can tell
you. Yeah, you have been lucky. You have been blessed, because I can imagine there's people out there that have had similar injuries, and they're like, man, I wish I could say that, because back trouble, man.
I fell out of about 2 years after that, I fell out of a deer stand, a climber, 25 feet, and I don't know how I landed on my knees and hands, but I did. I was lucky.
Are you part cat? I mean, how many lives do you have?
They're running thin, I can tell you that.
My goodness gracious, guys. I bet it's hell to get insurance with you.
Man. Hey, I'll tell you something. When I was young, my first four-wheeler wreck, I didn't have insurance. I just got out of high school, and my mom's kid didn't care me. My mom's insurance didn't. So I got hurt when I was 22, I think. And my first helicopter ride was $50,000.
Oh, my God.
To go 50 miles. That's it, 50 miles.
Good lands.
It's real expensive.
Yeah. Golly. Man.
But I got to get insurance now. I'm old now.
Oh, yeah. We old folks. So you got to have good insurance. So, all right. So you're in the bass. You're in the, you're co-angling. And so tell us a little bit more about that.
So after that, like I said, I started having kids. So it kind of slowed down. And I could bake one, maybe two a year. As far as the opens, when they come down here in this area, I couldn't really go off, and still can't really, because my kids play ball and that's all we do. But I fished a few. I done pretty good on a table rock one a few years back. I tried to fish every one on the Red River when they come near. I really like the Red River a lot. I've done pretty good over. I've always done pretty good over there. It's easy. That's my kind of style of fishing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I jumped into the FLW stuff, the BFLs, and simply because they come around, like I can go fish the Texas division. It's called the, But anyway, they have 3 or 4 tournaments over there, and then they have a 2-day kind of a regional deal, and then they have a championship, and you go on to the bigger stuff. But I've done pretty good in those. I try to finish, I think last year, I won one on, I got fourth on one in Lake of the Pines, had 20 something pounds. And then I try to make the championship every year, which I finish in the pretty high every year, I think. I mean, I'm pretty good with them, make the championship. But I didn't this year because other stuff was going on, kids' ball and a wedding I was in. So I didn't get to make 2 or 3 of them. So it wasn't worth me even going and trying to do them this year. But I like fishing off. I like new bodies of water. I like going and looking. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So how do you approach that? You know, from someone of your like all the stuff that you have done, what are some of the things that you've picked up over the years that work to help get you ready for a new body of water?
I think the first thing, the biggest important thing, is time on the water. Now the other is probably I do a lot of looking on Google Earth. Like, it's my buddy Tyler taught me that. That's, you look at Google Earth and you compare last year and recent pictures and, you know, water levels and stuff like that. And then you look at Navionics. I got Navionics on. Everybody's got Navionics apps on their phone and Lake Master. You just compare, you know, and you look and see where they're going to be this time of year, whatever time of year you're going. And watch. I watch all the video clips I can watch before, as long as it's not in dead water, you know. Mm-hmm. I try to find anything, what somebody else is doing to catch a big fish. I mean, I'm not the kind of guy that'll ask a whole lot of questions of where people are going. And I like to figure it out on my own.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people out there that get a lot of information. You know, I got a couple guys that I'll, you know, that I'll do that with. But as far as anybody else, I'm not going to be the guy to go out there and ask them. You know, I try to do it myself.
Mm-hmm. Were you doing any type of this fishing before things like Navionics and YouTube videos? Because, man, I tell you, I don't know how the guys used to go to a fresh body of water. I mean, they were basically blind, right?
Topo maps.
Yeah.
Like maps. Like, you get a piece of paper map and you look at them and study them and just go out there and read your graph a little bit. You know, before you had side scan. Yeah, I did a lot of it before side scan even come out. And I think they had, on some of the units back then, they had some Navionics chips or whatever was downloaded in some of the early, you know, graphs and stuff like that. But yeah, I did a lot of fishing before then. It made more of it made you more humble. I mean, you know what I mean? There's guys that are really good at all that, you know, mm-hmm. and there's guys that, you know, some of the older guys, you have to learn to like it. And you have to learn to rely on it because, you know, it's the way of the world now.
It really is. And, you know, I hear a lot of people trying to compare, you know, the guys from back in the day. Well, if we put these guys today and back in the day before all that, they wouldn't do that good. Well, you can't really compare
eras like that.
You can't compare the generations because it's just not, it's just a whole different ballgame on both ends, really, you know.
Yeah. And I will tell you, there's good older guys that can fish, you know, that don't rely on that too much. But I don't think them guys can go, you know, to any big body of water and try to compete with the guys that do know how to do it.
Right.
I mean, it's just the way of the world now. You got to learn to like it.
Yeah, it's like Flair. It's like Ric Flair said, you might not like it, you might even hate it, but you better learn to love it.
That's right.
So that's the best thing going today. Yeah.
That's the way of the world. You know?
Now, around here, you know, well, I tell you what, finish out. I don't know that we finished out your past with the larger tournaments. Go ahead. And if you've got some more you want to mention, go ahead and finish out with that.
I probably fished about five or six opens. I kind of sporadically caught one that come close to here. You know, back then, you know, 6, 8, 10 years ago, it was easier to just jump into one. Like now you have to sign up for all three of them. And it's hard to even do that now. Mm-hmm. Like four of them in the whole circuit, it's hard to even do that. I mean, you got to call it. I mean, you got to have everything set up before midnight on the day you can sign up to do all that. And there's so many people now doing it. I don't know how it's hard to get into it. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I would definitely love to one day get back into doing it like that, but I can't hardly compete with them guys now because I can't put the time on the water like I used to. Because you know, you get older and you got kids and you're playing ball and you're doing all that kind of stuff.
Let me ask you. I'm not going to say it's arrogant to say this. If you had the time, do you think you could theoretically compete at that level?
Definitely.
I love it. Yeah. Why not? You know, I think, you know, watching some of you guys and the mindset that you have, I think you could. I think there's a few more out there that we fish with that. Man, they could really, but like you said, it's such a commitment, man.
Yes, it is. And you got to have time and money.
Money, yes, man. Isn't that the truth?
It's probably more money than time. Like, you know, first of all, you got to have the boat and the equipment to go. And then, you know, everything that goes along with it, the gas, the tackle, you know,
place to stay.
Everything goes in the boat. I mean, it's more money than time to me. And yeah. I've been doing it a long time. Don't get me wrong. Time makes, I mean, it's a big factor too, but These days, fishing is not a poor man's sport to compete.
No,
you can
all.
Go, but to go and compete, you know, I spend way more money trying to go compete and try to win than I do, you know, winning. I mean, it's just, these guys around here are good.
You know, I heard a crap.
These guys around here can go, if they had the time and money, you know, I'm not saying they don't, but, you know, if they really would commit, like, to go compete with some of these big time guys, they can. These guys around here are the best in the world, hands down.
And that's something I wanted to ask you and maybe Kenny Covington, a few more that have been around. How come we see so many guys on the pro tours that are from Alabama?
The lakes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a pile of them. It seems like every other one seems like they're from Alabama.
And they're all guides over there.
Ah, gotcha. You know what I mean? So they're on the water all the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, them guys that guide, they're on the water all the time. Every day, you know, they get to read the water and look what it looks like, know when to be at the right place, the right time, know what everything is doing. I'm talking water level, water temperature, time of year. I mean, they know everything. So they can, you can carry that on wherever you're going to go. You just, bass are the same in every lake. You know, you just have to figure out, you know, different little comparisons to them.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's get started on the Arkla this year. Did you fish Arkla? You fished Arkla last year.
Yes, sir.
Did you fish with Curtis?
Yep.
All right, let's talk about him real quick. How'd you get linked up with Curtis?
So, Curtis is a stick. So, I fished with his little brother, Happy, or Curtis Goodland. I mean, Casey Goodland, for years and years and years. And I don't know how me and Curtis got last year. You know, I think we might have fished some Thursday nights together and won a couple, and then it turned into being like, well, hell, we might need to just fish all the time together, you know? And he come to me, I think he come to me one day and said, hey, you want to fish this next year? And I was like, yeah, we'll go give it a run, you know? And we ended up doing pretty good. We won one on the river. I think we were in second last year going into the last tournament on Felsenthal, and Craig Coleman was in first.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we just needed a couple of pounds to be right there above them. And it didn't happen. We bombed that tournament. But yeah, me and Curtis, we fished good together. He knows a lot of stuff. Like, I think the whole time I was racing and doing all my other stuff, you know, he was like really fishing still, like really getting with it with other guys that know a lot of stuff about other places, you know. And he's good.
Yeah.
He's pretty damn good.
Yeah,
I'll stick with him. We'll fish, you know, team stuff around here. He's pretty dang good, I will say. He knows a lot of stuff that I don't know, which I know some stuff he don't know, you know. I mean,
so it sounds like a good pair, be honest with you. You'll compliment each other well.
Yes, definitely.
So
if he says, hey, let's go try this, I'm like, okay. You know, I mean, if something I've got ain't working, he's like, let's go do this. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. And if he's got something I ain't, we go, yeah, we do compliment pretty good, I think.
Mm-hmm. Now, Curtis, we got to talk about you because you don't want to come on and talk to us. We tried to get Curtis to come on, and Jared said, no, he didn't want to come. Okay. So
he's quiet. He would like to give up any information, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, man, you know, sometimes it's hard to get information from guys that fish a lot because they work so hard to get that information. They don't want to give it freely, you know?
I'm a fork. I mean, you know, and look, people ask me all the time. They're like, "Hey, man, what are you doing, or how are you catching them?" And I'll tell them. I'm not afraid to tell you what I'm catching them on. And I might not be the exact color. It might not be the exact, you know, setup. But I mean, I'll tell you how I'm catching them. Or pretty much where I'm catching. I mean, you just have to figure it out. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a lot of guys that will not tell you anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Oh,
I understand. It's hard work out there. You know, you spend a lot of time on the water. And you're either fishing in the cold rain or super hot. And it's not all glorious all the time.
Yeah.
So the hard work, you know, people don't want to give up what they have, but, you know, their mm-hmm. hard work and time in the water.
So coming into Arkla this year, the first stop was pretty rough for you guys this year over at Claiborne, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
we
should have zigged when we zagged.
I guess so, because I pulled up AOI, you know, earlier before I called you, because I couldn't remember what place you were in 19th place. And I'm like, how in the world are they in 19th?
I'll go back like Carter's. He knows that place, kind of like Craig Cobb. He's pretty dang good, knows when. I think he won a media up there not too long ago, or back in Buffett, so ago. He's really good on Claver, and I don't know what happened. I think I think everything we done was a day late and a dollar short. I mean, it was just like, man, golly, what's going on? You know, we lost fish, broke fish off, and didn't get them in the boat. I mean, everything went wrong. Everything you could imagine happened.
Mm-hmm.
We were in the right place, but we just couldn't make it happen.
In 2023, time is a valuable thing, and nobody knows this better than the guys at Ludwig Marine. Mitch Ludwig came from working 10 years as a millwright on a swing shift schedule to being a small business owner, and he fully understands how precious time can be for today's fishermen. Dealing in Ranger, Triton, War Eagle, Mercury, Yamaha, Tohatsu, Honda, Gator Tail, Copperhead, and now Reaper Boats. For all your boating needs, call Ludwig Marine at 318-545-5595 or go see them at either of their two locations, 110 Old Highway 15 in Farmerville or on U.S. Highway 165 South in Monroe. So then after that, you guys haven't done too terribly bad. I mean, you've been pretty fair consistent, you know, middle of the pack. And you came out this past weekend. See, where'd we go after that? Chico. Lake Chico, I think you were in like in around 10th, wasn't it? 12th, maybe?
Yeah, somewhere in that area.
Somewhere in there. And I knew it was in the middle of the pack. And then you come over to
one decent bite.
Yeah. Were you familiar with Chico at all? Is that something that y'all fish very often?
No. Nope. Yeah. I've always heard about it. Was it last year we went up there? Yeah, last year we went up there and done okay. I think we finished mid-pack last year, I think, or maybe a little better than that. But that place is awesome. I wish I had more time to go up there and figure it out. Yeah.
Then we go over to Cross after that. And I think y'all fell a little bit farther back in that than where y'all finished at Chico, but still respectable, you know. Again, another lake where, man, in the wind and the rain, that was a rough weekend over at Cross Lake.
And I found some crawfish the weekend before that were not there the next weekend. I don't know.
Is that usually about how it goes? Because I hear that a lot.
So I'll tell you this. And people might not like me and they might get mad at me for saying it, but I'm not a big fan of the week off. Dead water, I'm not at all, period. Because all the stuff I've ever fished is not. You fish up till the tournament starts. All FLW, all BASS. You know, dead water's like a month before. And then you got all this time before the tournament. I'm just not a fan of it. And I know the reason being they do that. I know why. Because, you know, everybody can't go like I can, you know, or Reisinger can, or somebody that, you know, owns their own business or can do what they want, kind of when they want, you know. But it's so hard because, you know, that, and you get that week off and you go get hung up doing something that you've done the weekend before. And then before you know it, you've pissed off 5 hours of fishing. You know, you done lost that. You can't go back because you get hung on doing something you did last weekend. You found them and they're not the same.
Right.
I'm not a big fan of that, but I can't change it. So I don't complain much.
Yeah.
But, it's hard to do that sometimes, you know, mm-hmm. like me, I can go anytime. That's not a problem, but I know that's not fair. I probably sound a little arrogant, but that's just part of just the way of the world. Kind of like the debt funder thing.
Yeah. Now I'm going to tell you, and I don't want to set it up like this, but you know, the fact that you went on vacation before the ARCLA and then you walked in and walked off with it, that's, I'm not going to say arrogant, but that's pretty strong, man. I mean, that's – you came in so, that week, dude, I really was surprised. I got a picture from Peyton McKinney, and it was you and him, and he said, this guy has talked fish from the time we got here, and you on the phone. And I'm like, he's got a tournament this week. I said, is he going to fish this weekend? He said, yeah, we're coming in Friday.
Like, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So next time you see Peyton, call him Gru. You know, Gru off the Minions?
Yes, yes.
That's what my kids come up with that name for him.
That's a good name. And,
yes, man. Gru's something else. Peyton's something else.
Go ahead. I want to hear all about – how did it fall out? Did you know – did y'all plan the vacation and then they came out with the Arcla schedule and you're like, oh, yeah. Okay. Because I knew it had to be something like that.
Yeah, and we had been – you know, we fished the media the weekend before, I think. And then, no, Louis' tournament, the Fisher tournament. And then the media was before that. And the water's been right and it's like, man, we're going to – it's one weekend, we got to hit them. You know, it's got to be good. And two weekends, we've done the same thing. You know, them tournaments and that on that one done good. But yeah, so on the, I think we had been at the beach. We had left after Monday. My little boy graduated or did his graduation in kindergarten or whatever. Monday morning and directly after that, we left to go to Florida. I had all my stuff packed. I had everything in my boat, in my shop ready to go. So when I got back, I knew I'd be coming back late Friday night. And, so I had everything ready to go. And, we left at 9 o'clock after we ate Friday, and I drove until 12, and my wife switched, and she drove to me, and I didn't even get no sleep. I just kind of laid in bed for an hour, just kind of laid there. I couldn't get no sleep. I kind of was excited about it, and I met Curtis at 4:45, got all my stuff ready, jumped in the truck, took off, and all sunburned, everything. I mean, just still had sand in my feet, I think. And, yeah, I had no idea we're going to hit them like that. But, I mean, it was fun.
Well, y'all had spent so much time on the river. So it was basically like 2 weeks of practice then.
Yep, that's exactly.
Okay. Did you?
And that's, I'll tell you, that is my favorite style of fishing, this river. I love any kind of river system. I mean, that's what I've always fished. I like a river system type of fishing. Now, you know, it's ever changing. It changes every day. I mean, you know, you're either there one day doing it and the next day you do the same thing and they're not biting or they're not there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You also, y'all had 5 fish for 17, I can't remember, 17 something. But you also had the big fish and you caught that, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Give us a quick rundown of how that happened.
I tell you what, we pulled up our first spot right when we took off and, pulled up and Curtis caught one of probably three, like the second or third cast, like three and a quarter probably. And we were both like, well, this is probably going to be a real good day. We kind of knew it, you know, like, man, that's pretty good. So a 3-pounder and the way that it's been on the first 2 or 3 casts, that's pretty good. So we keep on fishing, didn't get another bite until probably 10. And it was a short fish. And then we caught several little short fish. And then we picked up another one, probably 11. And so we had a 13 incher. And then probably at about, and I mean, we run from one end of that bayou to the next. We run, I don't know, 15 miles up to all the way down to Jovine's almost, back and forth 3 times. I mean, it was just, we were just running and gunning. About 12 o'clock, we pull up to a spot and, we pull up there and actually the same spot that he caught the first fish at that morning. And I throw in there and I catch one. And that was probably, I don't know, we didn't weigh it. It's probably 3.5, 3 3/4 probably. Well, as he's netting it, the hook comes out and falls in there. So he's getting the fish, putting them in the live well out here. Turn around and fish it, you know, they turn on real good like that. You know, everybody knows that. You catch one, there's probably some more wood. And I'd be danged if I didn't catch another one. I didn't hardly get on it. I catch another one. And he got the fish out of the net on me. And he throws it in the bottom of the boat, and he grabs the other one with a net. And, you know, we take the hook out. And he said, here, do it again, because the boat's floating off. I throw back in there again and catch another one. Just like that. And it was the bigger than all the other ones that we caught. And I'm like, oh, what are we doing here? Did not catch another fish after that third cast. Did not. I was like, oh, man. We had our 5 by then, you know. We had probably 12, 13, probably 12 pounds, probably. I was like, well, But the weekend, I mean, the past 2 weekends, no, that's good enough to do pretty good, we were thinking. But, you know, you think the whole time, somebody, these good of guys, somebody is going to find them and really catch them, you know. Right. And Scott and Stacy had revised. They went way up. So it was like, man, they ain't come out of there yet. They probably got 20 pounds or so.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we didn't catch it. We caught a couple short fish. We caught a couple fish that would that wasn't quite cold. They were right there at it. Come on the cold beam, but they didn't make it. So at 2 o'clock, we run down. We've probably hit 10 spots since then. And he throws in there behind this tree and nothing. And I kind of throw to the right of it. He throws to the left of it. And it sounded like we dropped a cinder block in the water. It was on top water. I mean, and fish gets wrapped up all in the bushes, and I get him out of there and finally get him in. And we're like, oh, man, this is real good here.
Yeah.
And then after that, we're like, man, we might as well just go traps and eat because this is a pretty good bag, you know. But we kept on fishing, and we caught a few more, but they wouldn't do anything. So we decided to come on in early because we had, you know, you got to idle through a couple areas to – that's 30 minutes of idling, seems like.
Yeah.
But as far as that, that's the way it went. I mean – I don't want to indulge too much on information because I have a tournament next weekend too that I'd like to fish. And
yeah,
I got a feeling there's going to be a lot of people up there.
Yeah.
But, well, you know, I will tell you, and I'll tell everybody, I mean, it's more timing than it is anything. Mm. Anything. And the spots that you catch them, you know, I mean, it's, you can throw on one side of a tree or a bush, not get a bite. You throw 1 foot over on the other side of it, and you can catch 15 or 20 or 30 out of it. I mean, it's so pinpoint. It's so pinpoint.
Do the fluctuating levels of the river have to do with that timing? Is that kind of what you're talking about there, or is it just fish moving in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. That the current affects everything. It does.
Because I know we have had some earlier in the month. We had some instability with the water level. But that's now right. It seems to be pretty leveling off because we haven't had any significant rain and whatnot like that. So the timing.
Timing is everything. That's a bigger thing than anything. Like, it don't matter bait selection, color, anything like that. But the timing is when – I think what happens is people get to run in the bayou and all that, and then fish – I think they pull out in the channel, which is the – so high now that, you know, they pull back down on that channel when they run it and gun it, and they pull up and they get in the right spot when it gets quiet. You know, and I think pulling up to that spot when that's going on is everything. Because, mm-hmm. Like I said, we probably fished 30 spots. I mean, you throw 4 or 5 times and not get a bite, it ain't worth sitting and waiting because they're not active. They're not biting. I could see them on my live, but they weren't biting. You know, we just rotated those spots during the day. I mean, and you can tell when they get on, when you're looking at your live scope and you can see how they're positioned. You're like, these fish will bite, you know, and they did.
I got you. So we go to Felsenthal next. How do you feel about, mm-hmm. I mean, it's still a section of the river, but in Felsenthal, you will have more backwater, more cuts, whatnot like that. How do you feel going up to Felsenthal?
Oh, I got momentum now. I feel pretty good.
Yeah.
I know it will be different. I mean, current's still up there too. I don't know how it'll be at the end of the month. I don't know. I would like it to be at pool. It's, to me, or about a foot high, really, actually. About a foot high is where I would like it. I don't know if it'll be there, but with a little bit of current. But the current's everything. It positions those fish on places they're supposed to be on. And it fishes pretty much like the Washita River. I mean, any river I've ever fished. It's got, you know, a lot more backwater than the Washita River. Mm-hmm. A lot more. And there's a lot more targets in those cypress trees everywhere, you know. So it'll fish pretty good, I believe, if it's down. I've heard that it's up right now, and I've heard that it's not real good right now.
Yeah, they.
But at pool when it's real low is the best fish, and then it could be 115 degrees outside, and they're still in dirt shallow water.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. How did you do up on last year?
I like it up there. We didn't do real good last year, but we. Okay. I don't know.
You got you a different game plan going up there this year. Mentally, have you made some adjustments? Because, you know, a lot of people would look at that and be like, "God, man, I sucked up here last year." I don't know. How do you approach something like Felsenthal, where you haven't had the best luck mentally? How do you prepare?
I guess I'm going to watch more of the water levels really, really close, like really close. And the spots I fished last year are really, really good spots. The water was a little high. I think it was on the rise last year. So there was current everywhere. And I don't know. I couldn't figure out exactly why we weren't catching them where we always catch them. We're always catching them. You know, the good ones that are there. I just couldn't put it together last year. I mean, I think this year, I'm not going to be on vacation. I was on vacation last year in June. I was on Broken Bow doing some fishing on my kayak, but I didn't get much practice time. But I think this year I'll get put more time in.
Okay. Well, you're going to drive past my house, so stop by. We'll sit down and have a drink. We'll talk about it. How about that?
Okay. All right. I'll approach it the same as I did last year. I'll go to my same spots. I mean, they're good spots. They're big fish spots. I mean, hopefully they'll be better this year.
I'm hoping so too for you, man. I'm hoping for everybody. I'm hoping we have some better weights than what we've had, you know, the past, I guess the past three tournaments have kind of hadn't been the, you know, the wowing weights we were expecting, especially over Chico. I was expecting some good weight.
Big over there.
Yeah. Mother Nature threw us a pretty strong curveball on that, but,
that's part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. But maybe it coming out of Felsenthal, man, we'll have some good weights, good tournament, good weigh-in. I know I'm going to work my best to make the weigh-in on Facebook Live, the audio. I just haven't had the best of luck lately getting that audio just right for the guys that are viewing it on Facebook. You know, they're at the weigh-in. It's good. It sounds great. It's just, I can't get that quality to come through. So, well, guy, hey, man, I appreciate you, Jared, coming in because I know y'all got a ball game tonight. Y'all folks, he took a little time out. Talk to us real quick. They got a ball game. Best of luck tonight. You coaching, right?
Yes, sir.
That's right. You got the bunt sign. They know how to bunt?
Man, he is in 6U. That is coach pitch.
Oh, okay.
And he, like last year, I was like, I don't know if all the boys are going to be. He was all in fishing, which he still is fishing. That's following my footsteps. He's like, I want to play baseball this year more, you know. And I come home every single day, and he's waiting with my glove and his glove and a baseball bat and a ball. And I'll tell you, I didn't think that he was going to – I thought he was honestly going to be my little motocrosser, you know.
Yeah.
He didn't take it to it at all. So I'm like, that's fine with me, son. You know, he can play some ball. I like – I'm bragging on him, but he's pretty dang good, I will say. He had a game last night. He's 6 years old, played shortstop. He caught a fly ball. He threw it to first, got the runner from going from – he didn't tag up from first to second, got him out. The very next batter, guy hits it to second base. He gets on base. The very next – so four bats, he catches the next one and throws him out at first again. So he gets to three outs in one inning.
Wow. And I tell you, that shows situational awareness with him catching the ball and having the wherewithal to think – throw it back to first base. That's good. You can't coach instincts, and he seems to have that pretty well.
At 6 years old.
Yeah. That's impressive, man. That's good.
And last year he was like, I don't know, you know, he played T-ball and I was like, oh man, I don't, cause my little girl's really good too. And, I was like, man, golly, I wish I had a kid that would play some baseball, and I got my wish this year.
That's right. Well, best of luck to you tonight, man. I'm hoping for a big W. Now, kick out a shout for your business real quick, because that's a pretty good thing you got going over there with that.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. Tell us what you got.
Man, I opened up. So I work for a buddy of mine. I actually went with us on a Florida trip. I worked for him probably in 2006, which I worked everywhere, went to Tenton. It's just what you do. You kind of jump around people, different areas. And he bought Magic Glass. And he's like, the guy that was Tenton quit Tenton. So he's like, he gave me a call, and I didn't even know the guy then. He gave me a call. I said, hey, you want to come tent? And I was like, sure, man, I come over there, and we become friends. We're still best friends now. He fishes with me every now and then. And so I worked for him for 3 or 4 years, and he sold it to another guy, actually Scotty Robinson, and we parted ways. And I went to my business 2007, and I've been there since. And it's been 15, 16 years now. It's been great, I will say.
What's it called? Tell everybody. Fitch's window tent, is that it?
No, it's Twin City Window Tent.
Twin City. Yeah, Twin City Window Tent. Okay.
Yes, sir. It's been great, I will say.
So look them up on social media. I believe you got a social media page, and check them out. And
yeah, we do truck accessories and tires and wheels, and we do all that.
That's right. Give these guys a shot, man. I'm sure they can get you some quotes at a good price. So thank you, sir. I appreciate you coming on. Good luck tonight on that ball game.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
We'll see you on Felsenthal. Great guy, great fisherman, and just a great interview. Man, I really like talking with this cat. Peyton McKinney told me, he said, man, you got to get this guy on the podcast because he can really talk a lot about fishing. Lo and behold, he turned around, won the tournament a few days later, and here we are sitting talking to him today. Good information. Want to thank you, Jared, for taking time. I hope you guys get that big W tonight. And guys, go over and like us on, give us a like on iTunes, give us a like on Spotify. I'd really appreciate if you feel like you can give a review, do that. Because I want to grow this thing. I want to make it bigger, larger, and not just covering fishing, covering hunting, covering everything in North Louisiana. And I want to grow it, everything in our region. You know, I won't care about it. I'll go over to Texas, Arkansas, Mississippi. You know, we'll go where we can. I want to get you guys something interesting and informative that you'd like to listen to. My name is Greg Hicks. This is the Antlers and Hicks Podcast. And as always, I'm going to encourage you guys to live your life past 20 yards. We'll see you next time.